How do you balance a wedding planning business with a full-time job? Hello, I'm Debbie Quain. Thank you for joining me. You're listening to another episode of the WeddingsForLiving.com show. Weddings for Living is a site with the goal of being a one-stop destination for you if you're a new or an aspiring professional wedding planner. To get more information, free articles, tips, archived episodes of this show, please visit WeddingsForALiving.com. So welcome to another part in the series of the Wedding Planner FAQs. My goal is to answer a frequently asked question about being a phenomenal professional wedding planner. If you're listening to this show, I'm guessing that you've toyed with the idea of leaving your job, your full-time gig, and striking out on your own. And whatever form that fantasy may take, for me, it often acts as a stress reliever, and maybe that's something that happens to you too. Although sometimes our dreams take firmer root in our hearts than we expect. For example, I started my business as a professional wedding planner as a part-time venture. My evenings and weekends were primarily when I would meet with clients and do what I do. I used vacation days for my full-time job for rehearsal Fridays, so I had a Monday to Friday gig. I wasn't booking weddings every weekend, so I could ask for a Friday off. Sometimes it was a half day on a Friday, because usually the rehearsal would be towards the end of the day. And when I shared what I wanted to do with regard to weddings on a full-time venture, I got mixed reactions. My mom, bless her, was happy for me just as long as I held on to the full-time job that I had with benefits and health insurance. That was very important. As far as she was concerned, be all and end all. You may have heard me say this. My hairdresser, Rose can do some hair, but Rose really knocked me down a bit. She told me that only celebrities pay for wedding planners, professional wedding planners. And pretty much everything that I said, which was up, she knocked it down. And what that did was actually make me more determined to prove her wrong. So Rose, you kind of had the opposite effect. And I think sometimes we hear others quote things that aren't always accurate. You may have heard the statement, well, it's a well-known fact that most businesses fail in the first year. Have you heard that? That's a myth that's thrown around. And it's been repeated in the media. You may have read about this in articles and books. Well-meaning friends may have used that same line. Most businesses fail in the first 5 years. And let's take a look at the facts. What had happened was the then director, the director of the SBA, Small Business Administration, misread a speech. What he should have read was, most small businesses that fail in the first year. That's what he should have read. Instead, what he read was, most small businesses fail in the first year. That's a very different statement. Should be, most small businesses that fail in the first year. Instead, this sensationalized statistic is not only misleading, but it's flat out wrong. So what happens a lot of time is distorted information leads to unnecessary fear. So I used to live in New York. I relocated to the DC area. Was still planning weddings, but with the move, got a full-time job. In the back of my mind, I knew I wanted to have my own wedding planning studio. I wanted a place where you could walk in after work and I would help you plan your wedding. And there was a place not far from where from my home that I would drive by frequently. And I thought, this is ideal. That's the ideal place for my business. Then one day, it was a Sunday evening, I'll never forget, I was driving by that spot and saw that there was a sign that a business had moved into that space. It was a vacant space. I didn't say that at first, right? Sorry. And you know what was really hurtful for me? It was a wedding business that had grabbed that spot. I was in my car and I started to bawl. Not cry. I started to bawl. I came home and I cried and I cried and I cried and I cried because I had missed my opportunity. That's what I said to myself. And this went on for hours. You would have thought there was a major traumatic situation here. For me, it was at that time. The very next day, I made the decision. I'm going to find a space for my business. And you know what happens a lot of times? When you affirm that this is what I'm going to do, then things begin to line up. And I started looking for different locations. And cut a long story short, I found a spot, beautiful space in Tacoma Park, Maryland. For those of you that live in the Washington, D.C. area, you know what Tacoma Park is. Kind of historic, community driven. It was perfect for me for my business. And the spot I got looked like a huge Victorian mansion, but it was a commercial space, wraparound veranda. I got that space against the suggestion of my accountant, George. You were right, George, sorry. And I was paying too much rent, but I was happy. I had a space. I could say that this was it wasn't my home. This is where I was working from, down the aisle, the name of my company. And to cut another long story short, it was very hard for me to turn a profit. Business was coming in, but as fast as it was coming in, it was covering all those expenses. I had rent to pay. I had to pay for utilities, and we had to pay for maintenance of the grounds. So really, as the money came in, it went right back out. So I got an office. I thought I'd arrived, but it was just difficult to manage everything. And then, of course, when you have a commercial space and you have hours, you got to be there all the time, unless you hire people. So that became my life, and I'd be there from sun up to sundown. So, well, that's not quite true. So remember I tell you I had a full-time job. What happened with the job, Deb? I was lucky enough that I had a lenient boss, and I told her what it was I wanted to do against the suggestion of my accountant, who said when you're doing your own thing, you don't want to share that with your boss. Anyway, I did that. She was very understanding, very open. My hours were cut to the point where I could still maintain health insurance, because that's a big deal. If you're not in the United States, I'm telling you right now, that is the driving force for a lot of us hanging on to our job is for the health insurance. Obamacare is beginning to change that, but still. So I reduced my hours. So basically I would come in, go to work at 8 a.m. and by noon, 1 o'clock, I think, 1 p.m. or so, I would leave work and then go straight to my office where my digs for down the aisle, and I would head out there, but I would be there from about 1 p.m. till 9, 10 p.m. some nights, sometimes later than that. And then, of course, weekends. So that was my livelihood. Well, after 2 years, I signed a 2-year lease. And was it 2 or 3 years? Time flies. When the lease was up for renewal, the landlord decided that the rent was going to go up substantially. It was hard enough to make a profit with the rent that I had already in place. And I decided, not doing that, and moved out. I had a lot of things I had acquired, equipment, and I'd done a lot of things to the space. And then I moved back home and said, I'll just continue operating from home. And it was around about that time that Weddings for a Living took off, and I was doing less weddings. But that's my story. So I was still balancing my wedding business with a full-time job. So I say all that to say, for me, having a commercial space, which I thought was a huge deal, and that I had made it, really, in hindsight, that was a hasty decision. I was acting on emotion. Told you the story about me boo-hooing. But that's what I did for several years. So now I'm home-based, and a lot of what I do is online, and the world has changed in that it's cool to operate your business from home. So saying that a few years ago made it seem like you were less than your competitors if they had a storefront. And to some extent, you may still hear or get wind of that stigma, but it's less important now than it was then. So getting back to this working and balancing the wedding business, you have to create a plan. And as anal as I can be, I didn't do a whole lot of planning. I didn't think it through enough. I told you, as I said, I was acting on emotion. So you have to decide, you know, do you want your wedding business to remain as a part-time venture? And by the way, if that's what you plan to do, that's fine. That's okay. Do you want just a little extra income on the side, you know, enough to pay your rent or your mortgage or enough to afford a vacation or to cover whatever expense there is? Is it your goal to transition into a full-time venture? I hear that a lot. How much money do you want to make a year? How much money do you want to make a month? The amount should surpass your expenses and allow you to make a profit. Didn't happen for me when I was running down the aisle from my commercial space. How many weddings per year? How many weddings do you want to do per month? So you have to think this through And you also have to create measurable goals. So one of your goals might be, I want to file my DBA, which is if you're not in the U.S., and I always have to preface it by saying that. So doing business as is a certificate that you get, which pretty much says, this is my made up name, that my business name is made up, is fictitious, but my real name is such and such. So if something were to happen with the business, that people could always trace it back. So if my company name is XYZ Weddings, and you want to know who's the real person behind XYZ Weddings, well, my DBA, doing business as, or fictitious business statement will reveal that. So maybe your goal is to file your DBA, but you've got to add something that's measurable. So it might be, file my DBA no later than next Friday. That's a measurable goal. So you have to do a series of those goals for your wedding business. You know, by the end of 2015, I want to set up my LLC. Not as important as you think it is, by the way. How much work can you do on your wedding business along with your full-time job? And I'm saying job, but your full-time thing may not be a job. It may be looking after your family. It may be taking care of a loved one. It may, whatever that full-time thing is that consumes all of your time, fit that in. I'm using the word job, but it can be full-time whatever, right? Fill in the blanks. So what can you realistically do? Can you realistically do 5 activities each day toward your wedding business? Because you may hear that somebody, there's social media, there's so much to read now, and we hear about others, how they're getting to where they are now. And you may hear someone say, well, I did 5 things to get me closer to my wedding business. That works for them. That may not work for you. So if you are able to do 5 things a day, then you're kind of fast tracking. You're getting there a lot quicker. But if it doesn't work for you, then slow it down a bit and maybe you set up weekly plans. Instead of 5 activities each day, you have 5 activities per week. And then once you get those 5 done, you initiate 5 new ones. And then you follow through on the 5 from the previous week. You can do the slow but sure or the monthly plan and do 5 activities per month. If your life is filled with lots of other commitments, you'll make more progress on the monthly plan. So instead of being discouraged by trying and failing, be realistic about what you can do. You look to others for inspiration, but don't measure your success by the pace that somebody else is going for their business. Okay? A lot of us make that mistake, me included. So it's not how fast or the speed, but how much regular progress you're making. So if you're doing a little bit on whatever your plan is, monthly, weekly, daily, that's better than sitting down and doing something this month and then doing something grandiose next month. Stick with a plan, come up with a plan and try to stick to that, but be realistic about what you can do. And all this is having to do with juggling your wedding business with a full-time job. So you got to set goals. And then you also have to set up time to work on your business. The way I look at it, it's like looking at your wedding business as having an outside part-time job. So if you've ever worked full-time someplace and then had a part-time gig, you had hours that you would go to your second job. It's the same thing for your wedding business. And even on days when you don't feel like it, you just have to do it. So schedule everything else around that time. If you've ever been on a workout plan, then you know what I'm talking about. The suggestion is that you work out frequently. You work out consistently. So maybe it's Monday, Thursday, and Sunday. Well, the same thing for your business. You've got to set aside some time and block out on your calendar and say, okay, this is when I'm going to work on my business. Because based on these 5 goals that I'm trying to accomplish, these are the systems, these are the steps to get there. Tell everyone who needs to know. Your other half, your children, your roommate, whomever. Let them know. Same way if you had a part-time job, those nearest and dearest to you would know that. It's difficult, especially if you're working from home, when people see that you're at your desk or in your office and they think, okay, Debbie's there. Let me come in and talk. My daughter does it all the time. Thankfully, I have an office with a door. But tell those nearest and dearest to you what it is that you're doing and what you're trying. You don't have to go into a whole lot of detail, but just between these days, Monday, Thursday, Sunday, between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m., this is my time to get this done. Don't pick a time when you're exhausted or tired or you know that you'll be interrupted. Piggybacks on what I just said. Like right after you come home from work. I used to try to do that. Crazy. It sounds good in theory. It sounds really great first thing in the morning. But when you come home, especially if you've had a rough day, that's not the time. Your energy level just isn't there. Now, if you have to meet with a client or a vendor, you just got to do it. But it's easier to accomplish work like that when someone else is relying on you. It's that self-imposed deadline. You got to go. Someone's waiting for you. But to come and sit down and do your own thing on your own when you're exhausted, it's less likely to happen. Keep it real. So don't try to schedule everything Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. when you get home from work at 6:30. How long is that going to last? Then you're not going to accomplish your goals, and then you're going to be disappointed, and then I'm going to hear you say, I tried the wedding planning thing, Debbie, and I gave it up. So don't worry about everyone else. Just sort of like that slow and steady thing, okay? Remember to reward yourself when you accomplish your goals. I'm guilty of this because I'm very good at saying what I haven't done and very hard on myself. Reward yourself with these little goals, whether it's you go out to dine or you... I don't watch TV a lot, Monday through Friday. I don't. So Saturdays and Sundays, not even Saturday so much, more Sunday, is when I get a chance to, it's myself and done just to watch TV. Now you're saying, oh, hey, big deal, Debbie. But for me, it's a huge reward. Because even when I'm watching TV, I'm thinking, gosh, I should be doing something. I should be working on. So I haven't, in the last few years, my social life has sort of gone down the drain. I really don't know how to relax very much. But I can take in, you know, when Downton Abbey's on and catch up on my British comedies and drama. My girlfriend introduced me to Shameless. I've been watching back issues of that. That's a phenomenal show, by the way, on Showtime. Sorry. So those are the things I look forward to. And I mean, I know I need to get a life. I should be looking forward to other things than, you know, watching TV. But for me, it's a big deal because Monday through Friday, I don't get to do that. So find something. Maybe you don't buy something until you buy those pair of shoes or that purse or that outfit until you do X, Y, Z or until you accomplish these five goals. My shopping habits have dwindled. It's great. I don't even, when I go to the store now, the mall or something, it's to get something. I'm not going to browse. It's in and out. That's the person that I've become, which is a really good thing in the last few years. And, you know, I mentioned earlier, my accountant, George, suggested that I not share what I'm doing on the side with my boss. What do you think? You know, do you tell your coworkers about your business? Do you tell your boss about your business? Well, it depends. I felt very comfortable telling my then boss what I was doing. Now, would I do that? Probably not. And you may have heard me talk about my love-hate relationship, more hate than love, sorry, with social media. And I know I suffer because of it. But it's because I spend so much time by myself, especially with working on the business. When I say by myself, not antisocial, but focused on what I need to get done. No TV, trying to zone in several hours a week just to get business where it needs to be. That I've come used to my own company, and what I've learned when I see things happening, I don't always share it. And maybe it's because I don't have a sounding board, but I tend not to share it. So I lean towards the side of not sharing a business with your coworkers or with your boss. Because what happens is when something isn't flowing right at work, it's easy for you to become the scapegoat now. Oh, that's probably because she has to run off early because she's got to go, she's doing her wedding thing. Or if they see you, I don't know, if you're checking your email, your personal email real quickly to see if any of your clients or vendors have responded or you're replying to a vendor or a client, then it's easy for someone to say, oh yeah, she's doing her business on company time. So it's up to you, but I lean towards the side of caution and just sort of keep that to myself because I don't want that to be a reason, an excuse for someone to sort of use against me. Am I paranoid? I might sound a little paranoid. And, you know, you have to know what it is you're getting into. Owning your own business means you're giving up the comfort for independence. You really are. There's more to owning a wedding business than planning weddings. You have to find vendors, reliable vendors. You have to brush up on your skills. You have to attend bridal shows if you choose to market your business that way. You have to visit venues so you know what venues look like inside out and that you can refer them to your clients. You have to find that about insurance. You're going to need that if people are coming to your home or if you have an office where people are coming in. When I had my business in Tacoma Park, I had to get insurance. It was a requirement as a tenant, and also to cover my, you know what, for my clients that were coming up the stairs and into that office. So that's why loving what you do is really important, because you need to be passionate, really passionate about this, because there are going to be days when you won't want to do anything. And it's the passion that you have that's going to keep you going. That will be the answer to why the heck am I doing that? And if there is no passion, it's not, you're not going to stick around. It's just not going to happen. So remember, when as the wedding planner, as glamorous as it is, and a lot of times we get into this because we are passionate about weddings, we're actually being hired to do things that our clients don't want to do or don't have the time to do. A lot of legwork, a lot of grunt work. We don't always get pats on the back. We don't always get the thank yous we deserve. But it's, again, the passion for this business that kind of keeps you going. It's the passion that means that I skip TV Monday through Friday because it's something that I'm passionate about. If you're tempted to chuck your day job in favor of your sideline business, you got to proceed carefully. There's a huge difference between receiving that paycheck or direct deposit twice a month or every other week or each week. So building your wedding business slowly makes sense. Get a feel of the things that you enjoy doing and what you do not enjoy doing. When I first started my business, weekends and evenings weren't an issue for me. Now, after several years, not so much. I'm not excited about giving up Saturdays. I'm saying that to you now, but you know, a few days ago, the neighbors had a home wedding. They didn't know I plan weddings. And I could feel the twinge. I was like, oh my gosh. It was just, I couldn't help it. I was like, oh my gosh, they got the tent up. I could hear the music. I almost gate crashed. But you know, it's within me. It was within me. But my point is, I'm saying I don't want to give up my weekends. I don't want to spend every Saturday planning a wedding. But when there's a wedding on a Saturday that I run into or hear about, I feel that twinge. And I don't know if you get that same thing too. It's sort of like, maybe it's a slight addiction. I don't know. Maybe they need to have Wedding Planners Anonymous or something, or Hitched Anonymous. Oh, there's a thought. So don't try to be something that you're not. And I mentioned home weddings. I love the idea of home weddings. I love the idea of an intimate wedding. I love the idea of planning a wedding in a very short space of time. Those are my loves. A lot of times I think we try to justify or decide that, hey, that's a silly idea because I'm not going to make enough money. Stick to what you believe and what you are passionate about. You don't want to work with clients or work on weddings that you don't get buzzed about. You also need to stand out as a wedding planner and get a niche. Get a specialty. That's going to help you, especially as you're balancing this wedding thing with a full-time job. That's how you stand out from the sea of wedding planners, by doing something a little differently. I just mentioned to you the weddings that happen very quickly, 3 months or less, the weddings that happen at home, the weddings that have 75 guests or less. Those weddings appeal to me, and those are actually what types of, if I decide to focus on one of those, would help me stand out. You see, you may say that, you know, you see celebrity wedding planners and well-known planners and they don't seem to have a niche. They have a following now. They don't need a niche. But when you're new and you're getting started and you're balancing your business with a full-time job, having the niche will fast-track you. You'll get there quicker. Now, does it mean those are the only types of weddings you'll ever plan? No, not at all. But it's going to help build your business so quickly that as you become better known, you can accept whatever wedding you want. And you will appeal to a lot more people. Do you see what I mean? So don't think a niche is going to stick you in this narrow little field and you can't do anything else. And you know what? Even if you are stuck in this specialty niche, if it's something you're truly passionate about, you're going to love it. You're going to have so much enjoyment because that's the type of wedding that you want to work on. By the way, it's difficult to offer full service wedding planning if you're working a full-time job somewhere else. Because the reason usually that someone is hiring you is because they don't have the time to do the planning. So when you put your hand up and say you're offering full service planning, you don't have the time either. You've got a full-time job. You're going to try to squeeze this in into evenings and weekends. And as I told you, at the end of the day, you're going to be exhausted. That's going to get old really quickly, real fast. So my suggestion is to kind of leave off the full service wedding planning when you're juggling a full-time job. Because as a full-service wedding planner, you have to hold the hand of your clients from beginning to end. That's not an easy thing to do. If they call at 2 p.m. in the middle of the day, they want to talk to you. If you're working full-time and you don't have access to the phone to take that personal call, they're going to get very frustrated very quickly. Instead of trying to offer full-service wedding planner with your full-time job, focus on one area of weddings and become the top dog in that area. I mentioned a few niches earlier, but maybe it's invitations and accessories, or maybe it's event decor. Or my ultimate favorite for part-time wedding planners is month of or day of planning. It can be pretty hectic because you're basically taking over what someone else has planned. But there are some things that you do your due diligence to make sure it's a wedding that you can handle. If you create systems and detailed checklists, you can do that. And the beauty is, because you're not holding someone's hand from beginning to end, you're just coming in the last 4 to 6 weeks of the wedding planning process, it's easier to do that kind of thing with a full-time job. Now, for years, I've been advocating that. Wedding Business Guide was the course that I had. It's renamed and rebranded as dayofweddingbusiness.com. So you can check that out, dayofweddingbusiness.com. And that's all about running a day of wedding coordinator business. That may be something for you to consider as a way of getting into the wedding planning business while you have a full-time job. It's a great way to get your foot in the door, also to do some other things. And another way to get your business going is, if you are working a full-time day job, is to partner with someone else who perhaps works evenings or nights or works the graveyard shift or vice versa, so that someone is available when the other person is working. A lot of times, even with social media and texting and so forth, someone getting married, if they cannot reach you when they're ready to speak to you, will just go to the next person on their list. Unfortunately, it's not about the best wedding planner for the job, or the person more qualified for the job, or the person they're more connected to. That plays a part. But if you are actually the person that's best for them, but they cannot reach you, and the next phone call, they call your competitor and he or she answers the phone, there's a good chance that they're going to go with that planner. So if you can partner up with someone who is available when you're not, that's a win-win for your business. So while you're balancing your job, balancing your business with your job, you know, learn everything you can about weddings, and then learn everything you can about pricing and marketing. Thankfully, now you can get a lot of information online, but be prepared to pay for information so that you can get the information faster and the information that's more tailored to what it is that we do. There is a lot of free information out there. I know that, but it's going to take you longer to find all those little nooks and crannies. If you find a place or find someone who can help you get the information that you need, you have to weigh and see, is the value there and you paying to get that? And you may have to do that. And with the full-time job, with income coming in, you can do those things. So don't be afraid to reach out for help and pay for help to get the answers to the questions that you need. So, you know, take advantage of the cash flow from your full-time job, because with a steady source of income, you can still pay for, you know, your home payments, your car payments, your food, your utilities. It's much harder to do that with a wedding business right off the bat, because it does take a few years to get your foothold in the industry. Yes, your brides and grooms are coming in and doing a wedding one time and then leaving. There's very little repeat business. But the more of a mark that you make in the industry locally, the more business you'll get, the more respected you become, the more you can charge for your fees. So it takes a few years to get to that point. I'm not saying it takes a few years to make money, but to the point where things are coming in with a lot less effort on your part, because people know who you are. A lot of what we do as wedding planners is word of mouth and referrals, usually from others in the industry. The caterers, the photographers, the venues, they're going to send you a lot of your business, which is why it's important for you to do some of that legwork now as you have a full-time job. Slowly build your vendor list, develop your reputation within the professional wedding community, and network. Return your emails and your phone calls promptly. When people call and inquire about your business, get back to them, whether you can help them or not. Funnel the extra money that you're getting from your day job into your business. I was able to afford my first website because of the full-time job I had. Back then, I paid I'm embarrassed to say it was over $1,000 for my website, and it wasn't that great in hindsight. But without the full-time job, I wouldn't have been able to do that. You have to feed your business. And it's almost like putting money aside for savings, you budget a portion of each paycheck toward your business. At least that's what I started to do. And last but not least, just know that there is no shame in operating your business part-time. You just have to work twice as hard to prove how serious you are. You don't have to worry when your clients ask you, do you do this full-time? You can tell them that you do this part-time. But say it with confidence, not as a, oh, I'm sorry kind of thing. Yeah, I have some other things that I do, but I'm passionate about weddings. I really am. And last month or last year, I planned 10 weddings. Just come off of that part-time thing. Don't use it as an, oh, I'm sorry kind of thing. Just embrace that. It is what it is. Someone's going to connect to you. They just want to make sure that you're available for them when they need you, which is why I say that full-time wedding planning thing and full-time job just doesn't go. I don't see how you're able to do that very well. Just make sure that your business cards, if you have them, because I'm noticing business cards aren't as big a deal. Or is it just me that's not using my business cards? Maybe it's me. But your website, they have to be top rate to balance out that part-time thing. Again, there's no shame in that. But as you, for lack of a better term, you want to come correct so that when someone is ready to knock you down because you're part-time, when they see your website and see your business card, that becomes a non-issue. The internet, thank goodness, puts everyone on equal footing now. And again, when I got my office space, it was a big deal to me. It's not such a big deal now. It still carries some weight, but not as much as it did back there. Okay? So those are the things I wanted to share with you about balancing your business part-time. Lots of different things that you can do. So just know that there will never be a perfect time to start your business. I know a lot of us are waiting until, you know, we want to leave our job to start our business, you know, or when the kids are older, or when that big project at work is over. At some point, you're just going to have to move beyond thinking and talking and actually take the leap. You just have to get out there. I figured it all out as I went along. It didn't happen overnight, and I'm still learning. The things to remember is making the shift from employee to entrepreneur is one of the toughest changes you can imagine. It affects your family. It affects your finances. It affects your retirement plan. It affects your future. It affects your children's future, your hopes and dreams, and your fears. There's a major difference between working for a corporation and working for yourself. It's the difference. It's like comparing the difference between living in a tent and living in a house. And at your job, the comforts of home, things like your supply closet, support from the various departments like IT, paid vacation, and owning your wedding business, it's like you're camping out. You got to watch your finances like a hawk. You got to make things up as you go. You got to push yourself to book the next wedding. And then there's the emotional stuff. Don't get me started about that. The loneliness, the self-doubt, the big M. I'm talking about money. You know, is your other half supportive of what you're doing? So just know that it's all par for the course. If it were so easy and so simple, everyone would be doing it. You just have to keep it real and make the decision that I want to do this. And it may happen slower than you plan. That's okay. Just keep going. A lot of times when I respond to emails and comments, I end it by saying, keep going. It's important to do that. Just keep going. Listening to episodes like this and shows like this will help you. That's the whole reason why I'm here running off my mouth, is to help you. Just keep going. Keep moving in the direction of your desire for your wedding business. Don't let others derail your dream. And whether you're going part-time or full-time, keep going anyway. Go over, go under, go around. Just get there somehow. Get excited, get help, and keep going. Okay? All right, that's all I've got for you today. I went a little longer than my 30 minutes, but I just wanted to make sure I got everything in there. This is episode 389, I think. So weddingsforliving.com/389. Share this with someone else. Listen to this episode again when you're not feeling your best about whether you can do this and whether you can balance this with your full-time job, because you can. It just comes in a different way for each of us. Stop measuring yourself by what everyone else is doing and by how many Twitter followers the other person has and how many likes they have and Instagram. Those things are good to look at, but don't measure yourself by the stuff that you're seeing. Okay? All right. Weddings for Living is also on iTunes, so please check out weddingsforliving.com/iTunes. I'd love it if you would leave a review for me. It really helps. And let someone else know about weddingsforliving.com, where you can get articles, tips, and of course, all of the back episodes for this show. I'm Debbie Quain. Go out there and make lots of money. Take care.
passionate about weddings? Staying awake at night wondering if you could be a professional wedding planner? If you'd like to get paid to plan weddings, download Debbie's free audio class, 7 Truths Every Wedding Planner Should Know, and discover 7 insider secrets about what it takes to run your own successful wedding planning business. Go to weddingsforaliving.com today and get instant access to this information-packed audio class. It's yours free at weddingsforaliving.com. Go to weddingsforaliving.com now.
Visit weddingsforaliving.com.